good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you. And so glad that you love us. And not only did you tell us, but you demonstrated it on the cross of Calvary. God, I pray that you might bless our service tonight. I pray for the songs, the offering, the message, the invitation, the fellowship with your people. God, please help us tonight. Speak to each person here tonight. God, help us to go away different than when we walked in and be submissive and surrender to your word and to your will. So bless tonight, be it those that are not able to be here tonight, that you might raise them up and bless them. Keep the rest of us healthy. But God, I pray that you might be at our remodel. Help us to be able to finish things this week. And thank you for what you've already done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Turn to page number 34. How great thou art. Page number 34, we'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one tonight. Oh Lord my God, I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing, that and to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Turn over to page 500. Well, I haven't been able to say that for a while. 565. 565. Love our new hymnals. Got all good songs. So I will sing the wonder story. Let's sing 1, 3, 4, and 5 this morning, tonight.
I will sing of my redeemed. Free of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the cross of Calvary. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus found me. Faint was
seen
astray.
His
arms around me threw me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Yeah, how many of you were singing verse 2? How many of you were singing verse 3? How many of you were singing verse 4? Sound like tongues tonight. Amen. Amen. 2.5? Yeah, okay. All right, let's sing verses 4 and 5. Ready?
Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's path I often tread. But the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the cross of Calvary. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls his waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over
with the
loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Man, people are just coming up and giving me gift cards. Man, I love it. If you could help us out, every family, if you can buy one or two and hand those in, we'll have some thank you cards. And we want to honor the preachers that come and encourage them. It's not easy to be in the ministry. It's not easy to be a pastor. Not easy to be a Christian in this day and age. But we want to certainly encourage those that are God's servants, and I'm looking forward to hosting them. And so if you could help us out, that would be great. Then we have some of these on the back. There are, Brother Philip made these for our 70th anniversary. So if you want to take those and mail them to somebody that used to come, or text, take a picture and text it to them, do some inviting this week. We're just going to celebrate the goodness of God and what God has done for us in the past 70 years. So these are on the back table, and I hope you'll pick them up and use them. Wednesday night, back in God's house. And then this week, if you can come and help, we still need to finish laying the carpet and things. So give me a call if you have some time. Appreciate that. And then Saturday, bus visitation, church-wide operation saturation. Then Sunday starts our anniversary week. We'll have Brother Davison with us Sunday morning, Brother Stowe. And we'll have Calvary Trio and Witness from Heartland, and we'll be using those in the Sunday morning service. And then we'll start it. We'll have lunch, and then 2 p.m. afternoon service, and we'll use them there. And then we'll be done for the day. No 6 p.m. service next Sunday night. Then that Monday, which will be this 16th, I believe, we'll start at 6:30, not at 7. Calvary Trio will be with us. They'll be singing for us. And then Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, and then Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we'll have a revival with Brother Davison at 7. And Lord willing, I hope you'll be here, and we'll have a great time in the house of the Lord. Need to remember these on the back. Sister Penny Reed lost her husband last week. Need to continue to pray for her. Brother Joel got hurt. His eye got hurt yesterday. Sister Eberhard has some serious health concerns. And the rest of these, sure needs our prayers. So let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering tonight. Find your place tonight. All right. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for your giving, faithful giving of God's people. It's amazing. 70 years, and God has been faithful. God's people have been faithful. Never failed to send our mission money out and pay our bills, and God is so, so good. So praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Moyer, we ask the Lord to bless our offering, sir, please. Amen. You may be seated.
He said,
562. It's in our hymn book now. I'm on the winning side. Sing all three verses of this one tonight. Page 562.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Came along and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But it all is over now. Glory light is on my brow. Oh, is on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. On the last, I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul since I gave him full control. Pace me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated.
The peace that passes understanding cannot be explained. A precious mystery God has given only to the saints. Though troubled winds may rage and threaten, all that we hold dear, we hear him whisper through the tempest, my child, have no fear. What an anchor, what a promise, we will never be alone in the darkest situation. Help comes from the throne. He provides the calm assurance through his holy word. What an anchor in our Savior, settled and secure. The soul who finds its rest in Jesus overcomes by faith, believing God is somehow working through the tears and pain this world can never comprehend it, for they have no hope. But we are confident in knowing that our anchor holds. What an anchor, what a promise, we will never be alone in the darkest situation. Help comes from the throne.
He provides the calm assurance through his holy word.
What an anchor in our Savior, settled and secure. What an anchor in our Savior,
Hey, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. I want to challenge you tonight. The devil's hard at work. You know that? The devil's not going to quit. The only good attribute about the devil, he never quits. He's a hard worker. He knows what he's going to spend eternity. He knows that, but he's not going to give up. He's going to try and try and try and try and try till he defeats you. And that's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and he's not going to quit. And we're getting ready. I mean, God's already blessed, and God's been so good to us. But we're getting ready to really have a big meeting, and Brother Davison, and I know the Word of God will be preached, but the devil does not like that. The devil does not want the message to get out. And our cord got cut, and then I sent some letters out, already sent emails out, but I want to send another email out, and Brother McReynolds does that for me, and I asked him last week if he could do that, and he asked a question, and I didn't hear back from him, so I called him today, and he said, well, my computer's down. I'm like, well, yeah, so it is. And there's been sickness, and that's not good, but the devil's going to try any way he can. And I want to encourage you with the message tonight. We need to be right with the Lord. We need to have ourselves right, and when we are right, God will bless. But I want to encourage you, God will not, some things in the message, God cannot and will not bless if we're not right. And God can take care of the devil, amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you'll find Proverbs chapter 14, and if you're able to stand in reverence and love of God's Word, Proverbs 14:14. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll read it together. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So verse 14, the Bible says, the backslider where? In heart. It always starts, the downward slope always starts in the heart. You may still be in your marriage, you may still be at church, you may still be at your job, but you lose heart. And after you lose heart, pretty quick, you're out. And that's why the Bible says the backslider in heart. And I want to encourage you, backsliding is, if you're not moving forward, then you're moving back. Well, I feel the same as last year. Shame on us, all of us. We ought to be closer today than we were than when we got saved. Remember when you got saved? Man, I'm going to heaven. Man, praise the Lord. Man, the devil can't do anything. And then after years, yeah, well, I'm saved. Yeah, the things of God. No, it ought to be fresh and anew and a passion to serve the Lord. But the backslider, and I want to talk about this tonight and preach on this tonight, just to encourage you and me. And me. The devil works overtime, I promise you. You know, he doesn't leave anybody out. In fact, he probably works harder on the preacher than he does anybody else. But I'm telling you, we can see the devil defeated. You can't go up against him on your own self. Man, I'll take... No. You have to have the Lord's help, but it's no problem with the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for the Word of God that you've given us. God, I certainly love you. I want to thank you for allowing me to be a preacher and a pastor of this church and be a under-shepherd of this flock. And God, thank you for them. And God, I pray that even this week, God, that we might spend extra time in prayer, extra time in our Bible, expecting great things from you. God, I know Brother Davison will do a good job. I know he'll bring messages that are from you and the music and the fellowship with good men of God that we want to encourage of like faith. And God, I pray that you might bless it. But God, I pray that we might be right. God, that our hearts might be in tune with you. God, that we might see your continued blessing. And God, we've seen your hand in everything that we do, in the carpet, in the chairs, in the pulpit, and God, everything. But God, I pray that you might bind the hands of the devil off this place tonight, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, continue is our theme, continue. And continue just doesn't mean, man, I'm in the same place. No, you must be moving forward. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. The Bible says here in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're supposed to be given out the same. Did you know the King James Bible never changes? Amen. I mean, the world tries to say, well, use this version. It's easier to understand. It's easier to read. No, they just want more money. You have the Word of God. Stick with the Word of God. The same. Then he says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're in a battle. We're not in a ball game. I mean, most really, it does not matter whether an NBA team wins or loses or those that win the Super Bowl. I mean, think all but one team in the NFL says, "Man, we had a perfect season. We won the Super Bowl." All the rest of them, except for one, was watching it on their TV. But we're in a battle. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, our military has some core values. And a couple years ago at the Home Missions Conference, there was, I think his name is Brother Bell, and he has a ministry to the soldiers in Lebanon. And he gave us these. And it says, Army values, it's loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. This is what the Army's code is. Man's code, and that's a good code. But it ought to be, this ought to be in the church even above that. This ought to be just the normal Christian. The normal Christian ought to have loyalty to a Savior. The normal Christian ought to have duty. Hey, I'm in the military. Why? Because I have a duty to my country. I have a duty, but I'm a Christian. I have a duty to my Savior. Respect. Selfless service. You know, everything we do as a Christian and as a servant doesn't always benefit us. Sometimes it takes sacrifice. We're helping somebody else. We're doing it for somebody else. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor, integrity, and personal courage. And so, but we don't need to retreat. I've been told this. When you have a dog and he's growling at you or whatever, do you turn tail and run? What does he do if you turn tail and run? He chases you. That's right. Kind of like the man that was walking up the house and there was a dog kind of snarling. The boy was sitting there and the guy said, "Hey, does your dog bite?" He said, "No." So he walked up the door and the dog bit him. He said, "I thought you said your dog didn't bite." He said, "That's not my dog." But you turn tail and run and the devil's going to, he's going to get you. You got to meet him face on with the Lord's help. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, but I was reading in July 24th, 1879. How many of you were alive in 1879? Okay, wrong crowd. Hey, July of 1879, this is a copy of the Army Discipline and Regulation Bill. And it says, a person subject to military law when on active service is punishable with death if he commits any of the following offenses. And I got a copy of it right here. And it says, if he does this, if he shamefully abandons or delivers up any garrison, place, post, or guard, or uses any means to compel or induce any governor, commanding officer, or other person shamefully to abandon or deliver up any garrison, place, post, or guard, which it was the duty of such governor, officer, person to defend. That means anybody on active duty, when they're guarding a place or a post and they abandon that post, they said that could be punishable by death. And if anybody would coerce, hey, come on, let's go, hey, let's do this, and coerce anybody else to leave that, that was punishable also. And you know, God's given us a position on some things. He's given us a code of ethics. He's given us a manual. He's given us the perfect Word of God. And that's why this year we just need to continue. Just need to keep going down the same road. And not, well, let's tweak it a little bit. Let's see what everybody says. Let's see what the trend is. No. Let's stick with the Word of God. Let's stick with it, the way God gives it, and say, this is, and I'm not going to move. I'm going to guard this position. I'm going to guard this territory. I'm going to guard this post, and I'm not going to abandon it. That's what our sense of duty ought to be. And so, but we don't need to change. A lot of people change just because it's just what they do. Just, oh, that's the trend. Brother Stowe always told, we took the youth group the first year I was there in 1995. We went to Durango, Colorado with Brother Stowe. And we took the young people. We had just became youth directors. And he preached probably four or five times. And he told the same joke. And I'm like, we've heard this. He said there was a man named John Smelly. And he finally went to the courts and he told the judge, he said, what are you here for? He says, my name's John Smelly and I'd like to change my name. And the judge says, well, I would too if it was John Smelly. What do you want to change it to? He said, Joe Smelly. I was like, what are you changing it for? You're just changing to be changed, you know? Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, it says, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Aren't you glad you can know all things? All things have been, well, I don't think God talks about that. I think God left that. No. He's given us all things. And it says in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's given us these promises that if we fulfill these promises, we will be partakers of the divine nature. So, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your what? That's foundation. Got to have faith. Got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to have faith in this Bible. Hey, my faith is anchored in the Lord. My anchor holds because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Add to your faith. What's the next one? Add to your faith what? Is there much virtue today? Virtue has gone out of the window. It's gone. That means moral excellence. It means pure. It means to be right. Virtue, it's a wonderful word, but we're missing it. Then to your virtue what? Knowledge. How are you going to get knowledge? You don't plug your mind into a USB port. You have to open up the Word of God and read and study and hear the Word of God. Then add to your knowledge, the Bible says, and to your knowledge, temperance, which is balance, self-control. And then if you have those, then and to your temperance, patience. Would to God we had patience, amen? And then to patience, what? Godliness. Godliness is living like God. You got to have the patience to endure and serve God like a soldier, but you got to have the godliness. And then to godliness, what? Brotherly what? Kindness. Would to God we all had brotherly kindness. Sometimes we treat the world and a stranger better than we treat our own. That's sad. Well, this person did this and this person said that. You've never done anything wrong? Folks, we're all sinners. Hopefully we're all sinners saved by grace, amen? But there's no person that you say, well, I like him because he does everything right. No, We all have bad days. We're all sinners. We need to learn to forgive. And it says brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what? Charity covers how much sins? All sins. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want these to be evident in your life. But then he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. In verse 13, he says, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's all I want to do. I want to encourage you and remind you. You've heard it all before. Most of you have been in church a long time, heard a lot of messages, but there's some things that I want to remind you of, that if we are right with God, God cannot move. I want God to bless. I want God to move. I want to see great things. God has already blessed. I mean, just our pulpit and the way Brother God brought our missionary by, it's an absolute miracle. But God knew that. He knew that before the foundation of the world. I had scheduled him back in August. It was February. March 1st is when he was going to be with us. I had no idea. But God did. God did. You talk about the chairs and the carpet? Well, you made a decision on a 2x2 piece of fabric. You're going, wonder what that looks like. Wonder what that... And that, I'm serious. How can you make a decision on a 2x2 piece of... Would you do that, ladies, with a dress? You go, I want to see the whole thing, you know? And the carpet, same thing. Well, it's a little bigger, but God is in it all. So there's several things that I want to encourage you. Number one, God cannot use us and bless if we are unprofitable. Are you profitable for the Lord? Hopefully you're at a job. Hopefully you're profitable. Hope you're profitable for your country. Hope you're profitable for your nation. You know, in our neighborhood, we live in a good neighborhood. There's one house that you look at and it looks like he doesn't care. I mean, his grass gets real high. He'll start mowing his grass with a riding lawnmower and run out of gas, and that thing will sit there for 2 or 3 weeks. And you're like... And my favorite neighbor, Mr. Roach, lived right across the street, and it bugged him to death. He called the city and called the city and called the city and called the city. And that guy was unprofitable for the neighborhood. But we can become unprofitable. Look at Philemon verse number 11. Philemon, right before Hebrews. Philemon verse number 11, it says... It was talking about Onesimus, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but is now profitable to thee and to me. Before he was saved and before he got right with God, he was unprofitable. But hey, when he got saved and met Paul, Paul said and sent to Onesimus, hey, he's profitable. He's profitable to you and to me, and receive him as myself. He became profitable. And you and I, we can get in a place where we are not profitable for the Lord. look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse number 8. The Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So yes, there's some things that are profitable for right now, but then there's some godliness that's profitable for a long time. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Look at this. Paul was coming to the end of his life, and he says in verse 9, do thy diligence to shortly come unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed. Verse 11, only Luke was with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the what? Anybody there? Ministry. The ministry. He said, hey, Demas, he's forsaken me. He's gone. He's become unprofitable. But Mark, hey, send him because he is profitable. Now encourage you. Be profitable. You know, there are some that push the cart. There's some that ride in the cart. Which are you? Hope you'll be profitable. Number two, you know, unless God cannot use us unless we are clean. Clean. Everything needs attention. Your car needs washed. Your clothes need washed. Your body needs washed. Your dirty dishes need washed. Sometimes I'll go to the house and I'll pull down the dishwasher and I'll reach in and get a cup and I'm like, no, those aren't clean. And I don't say, oh, well, I'll just use that one. No. Mm. Or grab a fork and it's got yesterday's eggs on it. Oh, well, that's okay. Clean. You know, we ought to keep our lives clean. The Christian. You know, there's a lot of churches that say things about your soul and your the spiritual realm, but they forget the things we commit with our body defiles us. What we put in our mind, what we put in our ears, the things that the testimony that we give off. Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Well, I'm saved, preacher, and I'm on my way to heaven, but nobody can see your heart. But they hear what you say, they see what you wear, they see your attitude and your demeanor and your spirit and your work ethic. They're looking at you. We are to reflect the light of the Lord in this darkened world. Look at James chapter 4. In fact, God said you can't walk hand in hand with the world. James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, I'm just going to go through life with the world on one side and God on the other, and we're going to have a great time. I don't think so. You got to choose. You got to pick one or the other. Be clean. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. God wants the Christian to be clean. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out! We live in an ungodly, wicked world. And it's nothing new. Paul lived in a time and an era that was wicked. Wicked. With homosexuality and the immorality. Nothing new. But it should not enter the church. It should not enter the Christian's life. Keep our lives and our thoughts clean. Number three. God cannot use us if we're unconcerned. Unconcerned. I'm here, but, you know, are you concerned about the world? Are you concerned about your neighbors, your friends? Are you concerned about your bus route? Concerned about your Sunday school class? Concerned about the kids that come? Are you concerned about God's work? You know, you can become unconcerned. I think that's the way Noah's generation was. Hey, there's a flood coming. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible says that they were just having a good time and eating and drinking and giving in marriage. They were unconcerned about what was going to take place. Folks, the Lord's coming back. If you see what's happening with the war and Israel and everything, we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be concerned. concern. We ought to do more than less for the Lord. Let's look at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Of course, I won't have you turn there, but Luke chapter 10 is the parable of the... I've just lost my mind. Luke chapter 10. Got to get it. Good Samaritan. That's what I was thinking of. Good Samaritan. There was the priest and the Levite. They were unconcerned. The Bible says there was a man that had been, starting in verse 29, there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, leaving him half dead. Don't you think you would stop and help somebody? And here's the priest. He came down, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I say that's unconcerned. Then the Levite, when he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Just unconcerned. Hey, here's a guy that's half dead. And the Levite and the priest are religious people, but hey, don't have time. Got things to do. Probably looked at his cell phone. Oh, I'm supposed to be here. I'd help you, but I got to go. Unconcerned. But then the Bible says the good Samaritan. It says, and went to him, or verse 33, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. And then Jesus asked this question, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. We're supposed to have concern. You know, I think the rich man in hell has had more concern about the loss than most Baptists. Because he said, hey, I have a request. Send somebody to my father's house. I've got 5 brethren, and I do not want them to come to a place like this. How many people that are saved in a Baptist church said, you know, I'm going to make it a priority to be a witness. I'm going to make it a priority in my life to tell others about Christ. I didn't say be faithful to soul winning every Saturday morning. Because just 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, that doesn't cut it. Every single day. Remember our missionary, seeing men as trees? Are we concerned? And he said, send someone that I don't want them to come to this place. That fervor ought to be in everybody that's in it, that's saved, born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that knows they're going to heaven and doesn't want anybody else to go to hell. Unconcerned. Unconcerned. Number 4, I don't think God will bless us if we're undisciplined. I think it was Bob Gray Sr. says, do right till the stars fall. How long is that? Till all the stars fall. Do right, do right, do right. Well, usually we do right because we know what the outcome is going to be. Hey, I'm going to do right. I'm going to pass this test so I can move on. But we ought to do right because it's right to do. There are some men in the Bible that had character. How about Job? Job sinned not with his mouth. He did right. Even though afflictions happened, he lost his health, he lost a lot of things, and he still trusted in God. He said, though they take my health and my body, I will see God. How about Daniel? Hey, you can't pray. If you pray, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. That's okay. I'm going to pray. How about Joseph? Was tempted with temptation, and Potiphar's wife said, hey, lie with me. He left his coat but kept his character. We have to be disciplined. We have to do what is right. Number 5, God will not bless if we're unwilling and unyielded? Are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? Remember Saul of Tarsus, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, his first question was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And what was the second question? "What do you want me to do?" Well, preacher, I asked the Lord 57 years ago and He gave me the answer. Have you asked Him recently? "What will thou have me to do?" We probably all could do more than what we do. "Well, I put in my time and I've done my time." No. We can still do that. God, if we're still sucking God's air, we're still alive. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And God wants us to serve Him. God, what do you want me to do? But sometimes we're just unwilling and unyielded to God and His plan and His will for our lives. Stubbornness. Anybody know anybody that's stubborn? Stubbornness. Unwilling. Brother Haley, we put this trim up here, and he said, "Well, there's this glue that you spray it, and then you put this glue on, and you put it together, and in about 3 seconds, it's glue. It'll hold." I'm like, "Yeah, right." So we tried it. We sprayed it on there. We put the glue, and then I put that together, and he counted 1, 2, 3, and I'm like, it was stuck. It was unwilling, unyielded to come apart. I think that's sometimes what the way we are. "Well, I'm stuck. I'm not. No. We ought to be yielded. We ought to be, "God, what do you, I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm not going to do it the way I've always done it." Like the church. Is this different? Absolutely. Guess what? These are not pews. Praise the Lord. And I know, and I've heard some say, "Oh, I don't like that." That's okay. But I can't make everybody happy. And that no matter what we did, no matter what color we went to, no matter what, we will not make every one of you happy. But I believe it's what God wants us to do. And I hope you're on board, and I hope you'll encourage. And even if you don't like something, you won't say, "Preacher, why'd you do that?" You say, "Preacher, I'm glad you're doing what God wants you to do." I hope you'll say that. Because the devil wants to discourage us all. Devil one, and I'm serious. You say, "Well, preacher didn't do what I think he should have done." Guess what? If there's 80 people tonight here, there's probably 80 different opinions on what we should have done. I mean, which way the chair? Should we do them like this? Should we have a middle aisle? Should we do that? "Well, preacher, I think this, I think this." I'm telling you. Unwilling, unyielded. Lastly, God cannot and will not use us if we're unprepared. Unprepared. You know, the military does all it can to prepare a soldier. He takes him out. He gives him a weapon. He doesn't say, "Hey, oh yeah, here's a weapon." No, he makes him shoot it. Is that right, Adam? In the Army, did you have to shoot your weapon? About once a month or... ...60 times a day? Okay. Why? Because the Army's thinking, Adam may get in a place where it's me or you, the enemy, and I better know how to use my weapon. And as a Christian, do we really prepare? Do we prepare for the battles that will come? And that's what I want to tell you from here on out. The devil's already at work. But the closer we get and the devil knows there's a possibility of some great things happening, he's going to work and work and work. We must be prepared. Of course, number one, you must be prepared for eternity. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We're not promised tomorrow. When Brother Eberhard was having his episode and they took him in, and it was just a miracle that he's alive, because the doctor said most people in your state do not make it to the hospital. He didn't have time to say, "Well, I've got some things to do." No. "Boast not thyself unto tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Are you ready for the battle? My Bible says in Ephesians 6, He gives us the whole armor of God. But He says, be strong, what? In the Lord, in the power of His might. And I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. I want to be ready spiritually. I want my life to be ready. Because I know the devil will. Devil's going to do everything he can. If he can't do your finances or the physical relationships that you have, your body, whatever it is, he will aim at you. Especially those of you that are here on Sunday nights. Those of you here on Wednesday nights. Think, well, he's going to be after everybody. No. He's going to be after you. Those of you that come to the altar. Those of you that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. He's going to be after you. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? I want to encourage you. Sister Wendy, if you'll come up, just want to have a time of prayer tonight. And if we won't sing, we'll just play. And if you want to come to the altar or you know where you're at, I want to ask you to look at your own heart. Not at your spouses, not at your kids, but at you. Are you profitable? Are you profitable? Are you clean? Well, preacher, I will be. No. That doesn't take very long. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of that thought. Forgive me of that action. Forgive me of that spirit. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Are you concerned? Are you concerned? Take a handful of tracts. Next time you're out and about, think about that person that you see. Think about that person next to you and just give them a track and say, hey, would you take this? Would you read this? That's being concerned. Are you disciplined? Are you disciplined to do what is right? Are you willing? Are you yielded? Lord, what will thou have me to do? And then are you prepared? Are you prepared? The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you. Are you in your Bible? Are you reading? Are you say, Lord, I'm ready for the day? We need to be ready. Just as the army tries to train for battle, I think God's given us a manual to help us train for spiritual battle. So tonight we'll have a word of prayer, and then let's just take some time and pray. Pray for our meeting. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the rest of the remodel. Pray for each other. My wife hasn't been feeling well. Of course, Sister Eberhard needs our prayers. Sister Moyer needs our prayers. Brad Newman needs our prayers. Brother Heston's here tonight. But we just need to encourage one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love this church. I love you. I'm so glad that God allowed me to be a pastor here. But the devil is alive and well. And if we're not prepared and ready and clean and yielded to the Lord, then the devil will get the victory. So I'll have a word of prayer, and then if you want to kneel where you're at, let's just take some time to pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. God, we certainly love you tonight. God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God being here tonight. And God, I pray that you might help us, your Father. Thank you for what you have done. God, for what we have got accomplished, but God, I pray that you might bind the hands of the devil off of our marriages, off of our children, off of our homes, off of our church, off of our finances, off of our health. And God, I pray that we might be able to finish the work that needs to be done. God, I pray that we might be able to love and encourage one another. God, I pray that we might be able to reach out and see our Sunday school classes grow, our bus ministry grow, our teen department grow, see more people accept you as their personal Savior and grow spiritually. God, I pray for our meeting, God, that we might be a good host and encourage preachers. But God, as Brother Davison comes, God, I know that he will get a message from you and deliver it to us. God, help our hearts to be prepared to receive the Word of God from the man of God. Pray that you might bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight? As the piano begins to play, let's just take a few minutes and let's pray.
Give me a Kleenex out of that. Right there. Thank you. Be seated quietly. All God's people said, amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. And God's been good. God's been good. We were able to get the cross. Joseph made the cross, put the lights behind it. We were able to get the carpet laid, except for the edges, the front, the back. Got that up. Hopefully it won't fall down. No. We're going to start working on the foyer this week, and hopefully the back of the choir loft, and we've already got the stairs made, got the pulpit and the communion table made. We just need to paint those and get those made. And so God has been so good to us. Any questions real quick? Okay, we'll talk on Wednesday night about the meals and stuff and what we're going to do, but looking forward to what the Lord has done and what He's going to do. But we want to do something. Can you turn off the lights there, Brother Wolf? Okay, Joseph. Look at the cross. Yay! 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 Okay, that's enough. All right. So, one of those was sound sensitive, so the did like this, the did that. So, anyway. So, pretty neat, huh? All right, let's all stand. Thank you for being here tonight, and looking forward to the week. If you can come and help, that'd be great. Back in God's house Wednesday night. This weekend, need your help. Please be here for our preacher's meeting. We want to be a friendly church, and I don't want to host a meeting and none of us here. So please show up. Please be friendly. Please introduce yourselves. Welcome people. I believe it's going to be a good meeting, and we're just going to praise the Lord for what He has done for our church. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to dismiss us. Brother Ames, will you do that for us, please, sir?